Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Joining us right now, a voice you're familiar with. He jumps on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's our pal Tom Lavero, Washington Times columnist. Hey, Tom.
How you doing this morning, boys?
Hey, what's
doing
up?
Great. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great.
You know what I like about your columns is you really pull your punches.
Well, I always tell people I don't type with velvet gloves.
Right.
No, you do not.
So immediately when you heard the news, you just were just angry at the learners? Or like, did it take you a while to process it? Or what was your initial instinct?
Well, I mean, look, you can't be too surprised that at some kind of firing there.
Right.
Because, I mean, what they were going through. I mean, it's, you know, their record, the losing streak that they had gone through. Like I think Bish had pointed out, if you were going to do something with the manager at that point, that would have seemed to have been the time to do it.
Yeah.
But Mike Rizzo, I was really surprised at.
Right.
Much more than Davey. Because I don't think they're going to be able to do better in that job than Mike Rizzo.
Right. You actually, just a little side note, you reported in there, maybe it was heavily reported at the time and I just missed it, that the Strauss deal was put together by Ted and Mike had nothing to do with it. And Mike never would have approved of that. Was that reported at the time?
No, that wasn't. I mean, I've reported it since then a couple of times, but, you know, it didn't get much attention. That basically, look, there were a number of times that that Ted Lerner and Scott Boras made deals bypassing Mike Rizzo. And
really?
That was certainly the most damaging one, the Strasburg one, because that handcuffed Rizzo moving forward in this whole rebuild.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I mean, you had that on good authority, like, immediately, as soon as that deal was done?
No, not immediately.
No.
No, it was after that.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't immediately, but I have it on good authority.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, what's going to change for the learners to start spending money? That's what the fans have grown increasingly frustrated, right, that the ownership hasn't seemed to spend any money. So, what's going to change? They bring in a new manager, whatever, and we'll see what happens here with DiBartolo, but they have to decide to spend money if this team's going to turn it around.
You would think so, okay? And I would say to people, and you know the learners, you know how they operate in their businesses, period, let alone their baseball businesses. They're not going to change the way they do business that they've done over the years. I don't see them all of a sudden having an epiphany and saying, wow, you know, we really have to start spending money. I don't see if they weren't going to change for Mike Rizzo, who has been their protector and friend for almost 20 years. I don't see them changing for an outsider. I just don't see the learners ever changing the way they do business for any reason.
I was dumb enough to say on the air, and I kind of have believed it the last couple years, and I admit I'm a fairly dumb person, that I kind of understood the idea of not investing in the team when they're going to be awful, they're going through this rebuild, and I was naive and stupid enough to think that when they felt like they were on the verge of being competitive, they would start spending again. Was that just never going to happen?
Well, it is interesting. When I always talked about, like last year, Mike felt that the team he was putting on the field last year, the young core, could have competed a little bit. They wound up winning 71 games, which was higher than anyone expected.
Yeah.
And Mike, you know, wanted to spend a little bit more. Now, that's not Jason Worth, $130 million contract money, or Max Scherzer money. That's, you know, modest free agent deals, maybe 3 years, $60 million here, you know, maybe 2 years, $50 million there. And after going on TV and Mark Lerner saying that Mike has the resources, all he's got to do is ask for them, You know, they turned him down, and they did it again this year. He wanted to bring in a couple of mid-level free agents, basically, and they said no. You can't have the money. I mean, they're spending $65 million this year on their active payroll.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they're spending on Strasburg is more than half of their total active payroll.
Right.
Right.
Is it on some
and in that division, Tom? You know that you have no shot in that because every other owner, besides the Marlins, is going to spend at least $200 million.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, absolutely. Look, you can take the Mets out of the equation.
Yeah.
Because that's Steve Cohen. He's an outlier. He's going to do whatever they have to do. And the Braves have from their new stadium complex have a pretty good new revenue stream. But I think the Phillies are a legitimate argument. I mean, you know, I think you have an owner there who has decided that it's a smart business for him to spend money, and that stadium is filled almost every night.
Mm-hmm.
And the Phillies are relevant in a sports town where the Eagles have won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the Phillies are always the best comparison, and I don't think it's unreasonable for Washington to act like at least they're in the same neighborhood as Philadelphia is.
Do you think on some level, I joked about it yesterday, but look, let's be honest, nobody wants to be fired. They want to leave on their own terms. But that yesterday was Mike Rizzo Liberation Day, right? That he finally gets away and he can, you know, do whatever he wants. If he wants to stay in baseball, I'm sure he'll work with whoever. Maybe not as a GM right away, but on some level, do you think Mike was relieved to be out from underneath this ownership group?
Oh, I think so. I think there's a level of fatigue that set in for both him and Davey, where they look. Mike is very competitive. You guys know Mike very well.
Mm-hmm.
He's a very competitive guy.
Yeah,
and I think he really was determined to be able to, you know, to build this back up again. But there's a level of fatigue that sets in. Not just when you're losing, but when you're coming to the ballpark every day and you feel like you're fighting against your own team.
Right.
As opposed to the team you're playing.
Yeah.
And I think they felt that. Here's the key. You go back and look at some quotes from both Davey and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
When they would talk about, you know, building the team. At some point, they would use this some version of hopefully, you know, we'll be able to, you know, bring more players in when the time is right. Hopefully is a word that springs up a lot. They were talking about their owners there.
Right. When did they become kind of tied at the hip? Because Mike had hired and fired other managers, but he certainly wasn't going to scapegoat Davey, right or wrong, down the stretch. That was obvious.
Yeah. I think Mike felt that Davey, I know a lot of fans were not happy with Davey,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the team's play reflected that. But I think the most important thing a manager does is manage a clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the hardest thing they do. In this day and age, I think it's the most important. I'd say it's 80% of the job is managing that clubhouse,
mm-hmm.
and keeping them competitive and avoiding any fires inside that room. And Davey was as good as anybody at that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, keeping that team on the field, ready to play, never quitting. Their play may have been frustrating at times. They may have made some knucklehead mistakes at times, but they never laid down, they never quit, and there were never any particular issues in the clubhouse, which is hard to do when you don't have veteran leadership, you know, inside a clubhouse to do that. So I think Mike really recognized that Davey was a very good manager for this group and was cut from the same mold as him, really, really took the losing to heart.
Talking to Tom Lavero from the Washington Times about the Nationals situation, they, of course, fire their manager, Davey Martinez, and also Mike Rizzo, the president of baseball ops, GM, is out. All right, so let's kind of get back to the owner ownership situation. A couple years ago, we heard they were looking to sell. Now we haven't heard very much in the last couple of years. Mark Lerner may have changed his mind. What have you heard? What's going on there? Because, you know, EB brought up this comparison to Dan Snyder yesterday, and I thought it was pretty apropos. The fans, they're over Lerner owning the team. What's going on with the ownership reins?
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Well, you know, there's crickets, basically, in terms of selling the team. There's been a family divide among selling the team. There are several family members that want to sell it. Mark Lerner does not want to sell the team, has not wanted to sell the team. But the mystery is there's not people lining up around around South Capitol Street looking to buy the team.
There's just like one guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the only name of note that has ever surfaced is Ted Leonsis.
Right.
You know, and I'm not sure anyone is looking forward to that or not, because I think his main concern is to get programming for his Monumental Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, baseball franchises don't seem to be generating the kind of revenue for sale that, let's say, NBA teams do. Certainly not NFL teams, but even NBA teams do. You saw Artie Moreno a couple years ago had the Angels on the market for a long time and pulled them off in part because he never got the offers that he expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Twins have been going through a long, lengthy process to try to sell that franchise, and that's not going to sell for over $2 billion. The Orioles sold for $1.7 billion. I think the Lerners expected to get well above $2 billion for this team,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Plus, again, the Lerners are difficult to do business with, and as complicated as a team sale, that's going to be a hard process to go through.
Yeah, I think you're right. If you know, you may be right that Mark doesn't want to sell the team. I was told by someone who knows Mark pretty well that he would sell it at a certain number, but that had to be over $2 billion. So that had to be in that 2.2 range, 2.3. And now Ted never told us the number that he offered, but we kind of could gather based on his answers to our questions that it was well below two that he offered. So that's why that deal didn't happen. The question is, Tom, this, you know, DiPartolo and then obviously Cairo, they may not be here next year, but whoever is the GM next year, are they going to be dealing with the same nonsense that Rizzo was dealing with? They've got one $10 million player on this roster, and that's Nate Lowe. And I'm sorry, Nate Lowe's a decent player, certainly a good defensive player, but not a great hitter. You got to do better than Nate Lowe in free agency. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. And here's the thing. Mike Rizzo wanted to sign a power-hitting first baseman this offseason.
Correct.
So he wanted to sign Christian Walker, The Arizona Diamondbacks first baseman.
Now he's with Houston.
Yeah, perennial 30 home run a year hitter. Okay. Him and Davey went to Christian Walker's house and visited with him and talked about a three-year, $60 million deal.
Yep.
Okay. That's a very reasonable mid-level amount of money.
Right.
Lerner said no.
Right.
You can't do it. So as a result of that, Mike came up with a good plan B and trading for the first baseman he got from the Rangers. But he had to give up their best reliever, who wasn't Kyle Finnegan, Robert Garcia, to do that. And they could use Garcia in that bullpen now.
And Walker ended up signing with Houston for that number.
Yes. Exactly that. He's been struggling this year, but you look at his numbers, they're pretty close to what's going on in Washington. So I don't see the Lerners changing the way they do business. And whoever takes this job, and if they go outside and hire somebody, look, we saw people came to work for Dan Snyder. Okay, so people will come to work for the Lerners, maybe not good people, maybe not smart people, but people will take the job because there's always so many of these jobs available. And everybody will think they're the ones that can manage upward, mm-hmm. like Mike always used to talk about. You know, that was his primary job, basically, to manage upward. So they'll find somebody, but I don't see the way they do business changing.
Well, I mean, eventually the fans are just going to say, all right, it's done. We've waited 5 years. I know you pointed out that there was a lot of people at Nats Park this past weekend, but they did play Boston. I mean, Boston's going to bring their fans. So if they were playing the White Sox, there's no way they would have had 26, 28,000, whatever it was. But I mean, at some point, the fans are going to, you're going to start seeing 10, 12,000 fans if they're going to continue to win 65 games.
Yes. And you saw that was going on in Baltimore for a while, and then eventually they got sold. But I don't know if we're at that point yet. Mm-hmm. We're at the point where there's such an embarrassment or such a drain that they've got no choice to sell. I don't think we're at that point yet. I mean, there's a lot of teams. Look, the Pirates have operated that way for years, you know. Basically, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people who will just show up to watch a baseball game, and there's always visiting fans when their team comes to town to see their team play.
Tom, good stuff. It's Tom Lavera from Washington Times. Always great catching up.
Thanks for having me, guys.
See you, Tom. Thank you, buddy.
It's Tom Lavero from the Washington Times. We'll get Sean Casey's perspective from the MLB Network coming up at 8:25 here on the Junkies.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.